Welcome to the No Bull Business Radio. I'm your host. My name is Rod Sloan. And we're continuing this series of interviewing CMOs about their expertise with aligning their sales and marketing teams to get more business. So this is in the series of alignment, sales and marketing. My guest today is Adam Needles, and Adam is an entrepreneurial marketing leader who's passionate about brands, marketing, technology, and innovation. He's a B2B marketing evangelist. He is the director of field marketing for Silverpop in Atlanta, Georgia. So over to my phone interview with Adam Needles.
So today I have on the line Adam Needles. Adam, hello.
Hello, how are you doing, Rod?
I am well, thank you, and I hope you are too. Now, Adam is the Director of Field Marketing at Silverpop, who are a marketing technology company based in Atlanta, Georgia, and he's also a B2B marketing evangelist. Do I have that right, Adam?
Yeah, that's correct, and it speaks to, and you know, I have to say I appreciate from Silverpop's standpoint that they've not only brought me on board to help enable and get out the message about the company, but they also really support us getting out and engaging with the marketing community and sharing best practices. And I literally have the best job in the world, which is I get to talk to marketers every day about what they do right and share that with other B2B marketers.
No, I must challenge you there, Adam. I have the best job in the world. Anyway, before we fall out over that, really the reason I wanted to talk to you today, and I'm sure our listeners want to hear what you have to say, is that you have a slightly different perspective when it comes to this concept of how we can get our sales and marketing teams working together, how we can get them aligned better together to produce more profitable results. Now, most people will talk about culture and metrics and handovers and how it all works and interfaces and dashboards. What's your take on how we can better understand this whole concept of sales and marketing alignment, Adam?
Yeah, I think the big challenge that we all face is that a lot of that dialogue you just talked about gets really wrapped up in traditional silos. You know, we get into this operational view of what we're doing. You know, we have this segmented view that there's got to be some sort of hard hand, you know, from marketing to sales. And in that kind of mindset, marketing has a, you know, wants to have a bigger view of the world of what it does, and sales always wants to have a bigger view of the world of what it does. And I think what gets lost in the mix, quite frankly, is the B2B buyer. I think more than ever, the real solution to understanding and rationalizing and improving on sales and market alignment is to, A, really understand your B2B buyer, B, understand the stages and the cycles that those buyers go through, and C, understand, you know, what information sources, what channels they're leveraging in each of those stages. And it's interesting the way if you have that buyer-centric, buying cycle-centric view, everything just cascades from there. Everything just rationalizes against it. And when you look and say, you know, where should marketing be operating? Where should sales be operating? You know, it really gets into more about the organic way that buyers buy you know, you wind up doing the things that's just the right fit for the buyer at the right time.
Okay. Now, do you think it's easier for marketing people to be buyer-centric or salespeople?
That's a great question. And I want to say that for decades, successful salespeople have been incredibly buyer-centric. You know, I when I go out and I'm speaking on tour, one of the books that I reference was written almost 20 years ago is Robert Jolie's Customer-Centered Selling. Robert worked for the Xerox Training Academy, and they had a methodology there called customer-centered selling. Not surprisingly, he wrote a book called Customer-Centered Selling. But, you know, for decades, I think sales training has been based on, you know, that if you really are going to be good as a salesperson, really get your customer, then you're going to focus on who they are, what they need, and where they are in their buying cycle, and then you're going to be this trusted advisor, this resource to help move them through the stages. And I think that kind of insight is critical, and I think that's what we need to continue to do. And I think that for decades, sales has been empowered in B2B marketing and sales. Sales has been empowered to own that relationship and own that buying cycle. And so I don't think that it's that marketers don't have insight into it. I think that it's there was an organizational bias that that's what salespeople do.
Right. Okay.
And I think that what we're starting to recognize is that there should be a company bias towards doing what's the right thing for the buyer, but that there's got to be more integration between marketing and sales in terms of who's touching what stage and in what way.
Okay. Now, are you talking about there a cultural issue or a technology issue? How would people get started? How would organizations, CMOs, CSOs, get started on this approach, would you suggest, Adam?
Yeah. Well, a couple things. One of the reasons why I think this is more critical than ever is that technology has changed the power dynamic. And more than ever, B2B buyers, you know, I call them the savvy buying unit. You know, there's not one buyer, there's a group, and they have more information, power, and resources than the sellers do. So technology and the Internet specifically has created this gradient, this differential where buyers are in charge. And so I think that in order to successfully respond to that, there's really three things that are going on. One is you've got to strategically understand that power shift, and you've got to then, like I said, realign your market and sales assets. That requires a cultural shift because for a salesperson, for instance, to start to realize, and the research shows this, more than ever, salespeople get engaged as an almost last step. Uh-huh. That's what buyer power means to sales folks, is that you get called last. But that's problematic for your company because you still needed to inform and shape the decision-making upstream whenever you were in an earlier stage of your buying process. That's where marketing can play a really critical and integral role in shaping perspectives, and that's where marketing sales can team. So that second part, so if you've got the strategic shift, the cultural shift is recognizing that it's not either or. And this is something I've been blogging about recently. I actually did a post last week. And I talked about the danger of either-or sales and marketing mindsets. It's not either-or. It's an integral thing where marketing, you know, does more upstream and then starts to relinquish over time as it gets downstream, and sales has to start to pick up and relinquish. The third part of that, and this gets back to your question about is it cultural sales, if you change the strategy and the culture, I do admit that you need some technology underpinning this. You know, one of the things that Robert Jolies at Xerox Training Academy would be the first to tell you, the reason why one-to-one customer-centered selling scales is just hire more salespeople. And that's problematic for marketers. Mm-hmm. And so for marketers, more than ever, we have to do mass one-to-one marketing. And that's the way we integrate with and have that seamless handoff with sales. But to do that, you do have to have a technology infrastructure underpinning what you're doing. And frankly, I'm going to say that that's got to be a marketing automation platform.
Okay. Now, what are some of the challenges or some of the traps then that people can fall into if they start down this process? What's hurt you, or have you seen other people sort of, where have they sort of come off the tracks when they try to do this in your experience, Adam?
Yeah. Couple things. We have to be more externally focused and facing than ever. And so one of the first ways that we come off the track is we get really focused on our own product and our view of the world, and we don't realize that whether it's marketing or sales interfacing with the market, it's got to be a dialogue, and you got to take in what people are telling you and respond to that. So the first way to get off the track is having an overly product-centered view of your world. I would say that a second way that people come off the track is that, you know, let's say you realize that the sales and marketing dynamics change. Let's say you realize that the buying power thing has occurred. And let's say you shift, right? And so let's say marketing takes over more upstream activities and is gauging buyers earlier on and then later, and then, you know, setting up to then hand qualified leads over to sales. Another one of the pitfalls is doing that in a vacuum and not talking to sales. I mean, you have to fix the cultural thing. You have to operate in an integrative fashion. And whether it's things like putting together your lead score model so you understand the stages and the phases and what qualifies as a strong lead, that's something that sales and marketing have to sit down and do together. So I would say that that's the second thing that you could fall down on, is just literally, you know, recognize the gap, but then sales not being involved with it. I think that the last piece that is really critical in all of this you've got to once you come to a view of your buyer and stages and where marketing sales are going to integrate and what they're going to own and what they're going to hand off, and you've got like a clear, I don't want to call it ground rules, but you have a model and you understand that, you've got to have ways to manage, automate, and measure what's going on. Because you can't tune and improve on it, and you can't know when people are getting off track unless you have the checkpoints and measurements. And, you know, there's a strategic aspect to that, having, you know, ideas of the steps people go through prior to being a marketing qualified lead, the steps they go through. And, you know, people never talk about it. There's sales nurturing that goes on. We talk about marketing nurturing, but there's sales nurturing. You know, but the nurture that goes on before you get a marketing qualified lead, the nurture, that's got to go on before you have a sales qualified lead, you know, understanding all those steps, but then measuring and constantly saying, you know, are we meeting the thresholds? Are we doing what we said we would? And so not only having that strategic sense, that operational view that supports the model, but also having systems and technology in place to measure and manage this. And again, I'll say it comes back to a combination of, you know, an underlying CRM, an automation platform, you know, upstream, you know, inbound marketing platform, and then some analytics and dashboard packages to manage and keep a view into all of it at all times.
Wow. Now, if I'm a CMO sat somewhere, a CSO, and I'm thinking, crikey, this, crikey, that's an English expression. Apologies. Crimes. What is this?
Sorry, like? I'm bilingual.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You can speak. All right. So you're thinking, how do I get started? How long is this going to take? Yep. Where do I go first? Oh, my God. You know, what should people's expectations be of how long this journey takes, and where should they get started, you feel?
There's a couple things. One of the ways to get started culturally is just have the conversation. You know, one of the ways to get started is, you know, have engineering and product management and product marketing and field and sales all sit down and come to some common agreements about who you're selling to, what's important to them, how they buy, right? So I think that there's the initial just have the conversation, do the research, make sure you've got the right backing to prove, you know, what you might automate. The second part of this is that you do need the infrastructure, but the good news is more than ever we have infrastructure that is of different sizes, prices, capabilities. You know, you have everything, you know, everything from a Salesforce.com in terms of a super robust CRM platform to a Zoho, which I think is a great entry point for people to take a look at. If you're talking, and by the way, you can start using Zoho tomorrow for free.
Uh-huh.
You don't even start paying for it until you scale up and use more records on it. And so there's a great range of platforms available on the CRM side. Same thing on the automation side. You know, you've got a broad range of capabilities. You know, obviously Silverpop is the firm that I work for, and we tend to be in the mid-market to mid-enterprise. But you've definitely got folks that are downstream, you know, smaller, a little bit less capabilities, and you've got some folks upstream from us. So there's definitely a range of packages. And same thing on the analytics and inbound side. I mean, there's a range of players that are out there in the marketplace. You know, everything from on the analytics side, from Google Analytics, which is free and not that sophisticated, to Omniture, which is costly and super sophisticated, right? Mm-hmm. And so the other underlying thing here is in terms of getting started, you certainly need to change your culture and your strategy, but you also just need to open up a web browser. And with software as a service, with web-based applications more than ever, you can be up and running, and with a number of open-source alternatives, potentially even be up and running without putting any money down and building up your infrastructure. So I don't see it as being something that's that complicated to get going with. You just need to have the conversation, and you need to give it a try.
Okay. Well, I can confirm that. And as a Zoho user myself, I can confirm that it's very easy to use and very easy to get started on it. Adam, you shared a lot with us there. I'm sure there's more you can share with us. If people want to delve down and see your articles or your blogs or your thoughts, where should they go online?
Yeah, so you could Google the Silverpop Demand Generation blog, uh-huh. which is at something like silverpop.com/blogs/demand-gen. But, you know, if you Google it, you'll get to it. That's the corporate blog that I write and work on with my colleagues, guys like Will Schnabel, who runs our international operations based out of London, and I collaborate with. And then I also happen to write my own personal blog, which is called Propelling Brands, and that's where I talk about a lot of kind of big ideas, big changing innovation with respect to buyers and marketing and marketing technology. And that's at propellingbrands.wordpress.com. But same thing with both the demand generation blog at Silverpop and Propelling Brands. You could just Google it and you'd find it right away. The one other plug that I put out there, Silverpop as a company, we really try to put our money where our mouth is. And we believe that it's really critical to be out there educating B2B marketers right now. And as I think you're aware, Rod, we've been doing our B2B Marketing University series in the States this fall. We've done events now in Boston and Palo Alto and Atlanta and Seattle. I just did Seattle last week. And we're already in the process of putting together a schedule for the spring and fall, which will include sites not only in the U.S., but we'll also be doing an event in London. Depending on timing, may do an event in Munich before the summer. And so we're getting out there in the field. B2B Marketing University is 100% education, no product pitch. We bring together a bunch of partners, smart guys who are, quote, professors for the day, teaching and talking about B2B marketing. And that's a great venue. We've got an awesome response. We've had about 500 marketers go to these events. There's no cost, good content, free product, product pitch free. And I think it's a great place to get started and just starting to wrap your head and ideas around some of this.
Okay. And if people want to keep up to date with that, are you on things like Twitter? Adam, what's your Twitter handle?
You can follow me on Twitter at ABNeedles, at ABNEEDLES, and really active in just sharing ideas. I tweet about, as advertised, I tweet about B2B marketing and marketing technology and innovation and marketing strategy. And I'd love to connect with other marketers and share ideas on a daily basis.
Okay, and I can confirm that Adam is well worth following. Adam, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Rod. I really appreciate the opportunity.